This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And as usual, we're discussing questions that you send to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. We appreciate the nice feedback we've been getting from you about these podcasts, and that'll inspire us to continue doing it because this is a format you seem to enjoy. So let's hear the question again.
Okay, this comes from Marcia in Canada. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. You're doing amazing work towards our future in healthcare. I am a Canadian, and although the medical system is better in affordability, we are much further behind with a complementary approach and functional medicine. It's a foreign concept here. I applaud you all your hard work, open to advancement and change, and will continue to follow you and share all your work. Dr. Novella is an example of rigidity and ignorance towards individualized care.
So let's explain what we're talking about. Is that I recently posted an article, and you can find it at drhoffman.com, which is about a debate I had. I was invited to a forum as part of Medscape. It was a live Facebook event. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're going to discuss the pros and cons of integrative complementary medicine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I knew it was going to be a roundtable discussion. I knew I'd have, you know, someone to push back against me. But little did I know that I was going to face off against one of the most vociferous opponents of what's called alternative, but I prefer to call integrative or complementary medicine. He is a skeptic. In other words, he belongs to a school of thought that challenges magic, homeopathy, naturopathic medicine, acupuncture, chiropractic, and believes that they're all hocus pocus and not science based. And, you know, so, he was a worthy adversary. I actually, you know, an intelligent guy, a very committed guy, but I found a rather rigid and dogmatic guy who was coming from a perspective that it's all bunk and that, conventional medicine had cornered the market on veracity. So you can, you know, I invite you to look at it and look at it, you know, look at it and suspend your judgment for a while and hear the arguments, because I think it's important for us in the field of integrative medicine sometimes to get exposure to the opposition.
Yes.
You know, because otherwise we're siloed off in our own belief system and it's rah, 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 you know.
Echo chamber.
Yeah, it's an echo chamber phenomenon. And it's just like, you know, if you're a Trump fan, you know, you should turn on MSNBC for, you know, if you can stand it for a while. And if you're, you know, and if you're someone who is a, you know, Bernie Sanders proponent, or if you're, you know, if you're with her, you know, you're a Hillary fan, to put on Fox for, you know, a couple of nights and just kind of expose yourself to it. You can get a more balanced perspective and, you know, you don't have to embrace it, but just have to hear it.
You have to hear it.
You have to hear it. You know, and, cause it's very easy these days to unlike, block, you know, change the channel. And I think it's important to dialogue. So, I felt good about it. I felt like I was, you know, didn't he get my goat? I got pretty good feedback on my demeanor during it. I think I could have been, maybe a little, you know, stronger to the fray, but that may have also, compromised my integrity in that debate. So, that's what she's talking about. She's talking about Dr. Stephen Novella.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can look him up as well and see what he has to say.
So Marcia is a registered nutritionist and certified cancer coach in Canada.
Okay.
And she says, as an aside, I'm wondering if you have any advice for myself as a nutritionist, how to get more physicians to incorporate nutrition in their practices as more standard practice. This is a wonderful question. And it does need to happen even more here. This is just the beginning of where some physicians, those who are in the know or finding out more about integrative and functional medicine, that having a registered dietitian, certified nutrition specialist, anybody with the credentials worthy of being that, that it's an asset to have on your team as a physician. This is why you employ me,
right,
Dr. Hoffman, because...
And as a vital component, and you know, it used to be like, do you want to see the nutritionist? Now it's like, you're seeing the nutritionist.
It's
mandatory.
Should be mandatory. Marcia, I agree with you. One of the things that I've done, with some success, is I've reached out to some other physicians that I've known who have also been mentors to me as I was learning in the past, and let them know where I am and what I do and that I'm available and how to contact me. So feel free to do that.
So here's an even more concrete proposal. If you're going to a gastroenterologist, you know, you target them and say, this is what I can provide. I can provide diets for patients who have ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease.
Right.
I can provide diets for people who have irritable bowel syndrome. I can take those bothersome patients off your hands.
Yeah.
Because doctors said they're at their wits' end. It's like, okay, I tried psyllium. I tried bowel tranquilizers. I tried, you know.
Yes.
What, give me a break. I mean, you're not dying, so, you know, you just live with it. Well, no, that's not satisfactory.
No, it's not by any means.
You know, they feel like once they've made sure the person doesn't have cancer or a serious malady, that you know, just do the best you can. Go read a book on it.
Yeah.
But actually, to have a nutritionist in the office would make a difference. If it's a neurologist, you can say, you can actually append some of the studies that show that there's a relationship between the microbiome and neurological disorders, or that there's certain protocols that might support a patient with MS, for example. You know, vitamin D is important, blah, blah, blah. You know, for each specialty that you want to target, provide them with a little bit of a tease of what you can provide as a nutritionist.
And Marcia is a certified cancer coach.
Bingo.
So I imagine you've got to know some oncologists who are utilizing your services. And by the way, I have in a picture frame an old Chinese proverb in my office that says, the patient who doesn't pay attention to diet is wasting the physician's time. I really live by that here.
No, but you know? we're up against something else in Canada, which is the system.
Yes.
And the system there is, it's got some real advantages, which is that people are pretty happy that they can, you know, they're pretty much
have health care anytime they want.
And they're not going to get financially bankrupted by a health issue. And they, as poor as they might be, they can get health care that's pretty much on a par with the health care that a wealthy person might have access to, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, what they cover is limited. And what doctors want to offer in their offices are covered services.
Yeah.
So some of that work has to be done at a legislative level, frankly. It has to be done at the federal level, at the provincial level in Canada, to change the rules for reimbursement, since it's all, you know, government health insurance, that it's got to be covered, because doctors are, they're going to say, fine, you know, I'd love my patients to get it, but the government won't pay for it, so I'm sorry. And that's one of the advantages of our system, as flawed as our system is. It's a free enterprise system. The people who come to see us, they pay, you know, discretionary funds, sometimes covered by insurance, sometimes not covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. But if they prioritize it and feel it's important, they are free to opt for it. In Canada, less availability of private care, although there are some elements of it, particularly in the western provinces, more so in, you know, out in Alberta and in BC, I think.
Okay.
What I did come across in response to this question is there's an organization called CIMA, which is Canadian Integrative Medicine Association. I'm not familiar with it, but it looks like a plausible place to get involved. And that's where you're going to find the doctors.
Huh.
And then as a dietitian, RD, whatever credentials are, you can then maybe attend meetings, meet doctors, and you know, keep abreast of what's happening in Canadian integrative medicine.
Yeah.
And make some connections, maybe even undertake some political initiatives, because organizations, you know, have more clout than individuals.
Right. She may have to lobby.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some political outreach by CIMA to get the government to approve more integrative options.
Mm-hmm.
Although, again, in a bare bones medical system, It's all about minimizing costs.
Mm-hmm. Great question, though.
Yeah.
Wow. Marcia, thank you. Best of luck.
This is a good point at which to pause, because we like to allow our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thanks for listening, and of course, thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make this podcast possible as a free resource to you. So let's get back to questions, Layla. What's next?
Okay, this comes from Steve. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, D-ribose makes me so sleepy. Can you explain why?
Okay. Well, let's talk about D-ribose. What is D-ribose, and why should people be taking it?
D-ribose is actually very beneficial for heart, along with CoQ10 and magnesium. But D-ribose is also beneficial for exercise recovery, to help combat, you know, to help with glycogen restorage, to help maybe with even muscle soreness to some degree.
Right, and fibromyalgia.
And fibromyalgia.
Right, and why is that? Because it's a backbone for ATP. ATP is the energy compound in the body. And the thought is that when you make more ATP, you have less muscle fatigue. Mm-hmm. And muscle fatigue translates to inefficient metabolism, the production perhaps of lactic acid or toxic intermediates that don't get cleared properly. And that may be part of fibromyalgia. Although fibromyalgia is, some studies say that it's not so much what's happening in your muscles, it's what's happening in your brain.
Huh.
So anyway, interestingly, I came across a study that says D-ribose helps with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. A pilot study of 41 patients with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome found that 5 grams of D-ribose daily improved energy, sleep, mental clarity, pain intensity, and well-being.
Huh.
So, it, you know, I'll explain why that might be the case. There's a paradox here. Is when you are exhausted, tired, fatigued, you don't sleep that well.
No.
And so,
wired but tired.
Yeah, wired but tired. And what I've noticed is that sometimes I have patients who are hypothyroid and they're tired all the time, but they don't sleep deeply.
Yes.
And I give them thyroid medication, something that's a stimulant.
Yeah.
And you worry, like, oh, they don't sleep well to begin with. Maybe now they're going to feel like they've been had 10 cups
of
coffee.
Sounds like counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Right?
They sleep deeper.
Yes.
Why is that? Sleep is a high energy state. It takes a lot of energy to get yourself into deep sleep because you are working overtime. And, I mean, if last night was an example, I mean, if I had a script writer, like, sometimes I wish that I could hook up my brain up to some kind of device that would transcribe my dreams. I would be in Hollywood. I would be the most, I would be the most successful Hollywood, producer, you know, because I'm working hard, you know, at, I guess, expunging and purging my daily experiences, maybe resolving some of these issues in my brain overnight so that, you know, in the morning I can.
That's what dreams
do. Yeah. Right. So it's plausible that ribose, by enhancing energy, allows her to relax and get drowsy. I'm hoping it's not a paradoxical reaction, which is that something that's supposed to energize you makes you more fatigued.
Right.
I think maybe this is a person who's in sort of a wired but tired state, and then the ribose just allows the relaxation to kick in.
I also wonder what time of day Steve is taking it.
Okay.
And it's probably best to take it after exercise.
Okay.
And if it's making you sleepy, then hell, take it at night.
Yeah.
Why not? That's my best time to take magnesium. I take magnesium taurate for mitral valve prolapse, but I find that if I take even one of those capsules during the day, I'm very sleepy. It's a very sedating effect. Mm-hmm. So if I take it sometime after dinner, and oh my, that sleep is so delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Steve, you could try taking a little less D-ribose. I would also check your formulation of D-ribose. See what other ingredients are in there.
Yeah.
That maybe you're having some kind of paradoxical
reaction
to.
And as I Google it, you know, I see there's this several comments, people saying that it makes me more tired. Makes me more tired.
Huh.
So I don't think that's necessarily bad. I mean, I'd go with it and, you know, maybe catch up on your sleep debt and maybe.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. That somebody who's, you know, there'd be a period of adjustment where they sleep deeper and then they'll go to a higher energy level.
Yeah. Steve, thank you for your very thoughtful question.
And, you know, once again, and I've said this before, I don't want to be redundant, but there are two types of side effects to things. There are the predictable side effects. Like, you know, I took a lot of ribose and it caused me diarrhea. Well, it's a sugar and it can run through you.
Yeah.
And that's predictable. It's listed near the top of potential side effects of ribose. And then there are the side effects that either don't make the list or they're at the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And when a patient says that they're having that, it could be either a coincidence. So you could stop it, restart it, and reliably, if it keeps doing it, that is doing something to you. I have to believe the patient.
Sure.
Even
sure.
if it's off the list of major side effects, because people have paradoxical reactions.
Mm-hmm.
People take Valium and they get agitated.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to get sedated.
Right.
People, you know, drink alcohol.
And then they start doing the laundry.
Yeah. You know, right. You know,
it's supposed to be a CNS depressant.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, it's different strokes for different folks.
It's true.
It's called paradoxical reactions, backward reactions. Some people are wired backwards.
Okay.
Most of the patients here are wired
backwards. They're wired backwards, yeah. No, we see some very, very interesting cases, fascinating cases. Okay.
But time for a quick question, if such there be.
If such there be, okay, let's see. This comes from Peggy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a 52-year-old postmenopausal woman, 5'3", 115 pounds. Peggy, that's perfect. Okay. Fit and active. I eat a lot of salad and salmon.
All right.
Well, I was wondering, I want to take bioidentical hormones, but I have a history of DCIS and a family history of cancers in my sisters and my mother in our 40s. So will taking bioidenticals significantly increase my risk of recurrent breast cancer?
Right. And so the answer
she had DCIS.
DCIS, which is not really cancer, but it used to be considered cancer. Now they've reclassified it as a, quote, precancer.
Right.
But nonetheless, it's a risk factor for subsequent cancer and recurrence. Now the new thing on that is that it should be treated less aggressively. It can be actually even treated with watchful waiting if it's a low grade DCIS, much like early prostate cancer. And I actually wrote an article about, which is, I think, a 3-part series on DCIS, which you should look up.
Yes.
And it talks about, the new thing about DCIS and what to do during watchful waiting, that can be nutritionally protective, to provide a shield against recurrence.
Mm-hmm.
If this were my patient, I probably wouldn't put them on hormone replacement therapy, unless there was some extremely compelling reason to put them on that. I mean, if she was feeling just devastated by menopause or like...
Here's what Peggy says. Yeah. I feel like I'm shriveling up, losing lean muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor said, yeah, it's because your hormones are going away.
Okay.
She's 52.
He said that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the doctor is he or she, but... Because your hormones are going away. So what else can I do to optimize my hormones?
Okay. So there are some studies that suggest that bioidentical hormones, in contradistinction to synthetic hormones, actually may exert a protective effect against breast cancer. But that's controversial, and that's a little bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
If you're a gambler, you may try that, but you would have to undergo a lot more scrutiny. You would have to get more frequent mammograms, and you have to kind of carry the apprehension that you're at higher risk, which for some people isn't worth it. But if the results were really superb in terms of reconstituting your body and you felt great, it might be worth trying. Mm. So, I mean, some integrated practitioners would do that, even though they'd be assuming some liability. by going against standard medical recommendations. But if they believe strongly in it and if they could document that there are studies that show safety, then maybe they could have a day in court if something went awry. It's a risky place to come from.
Yeah.
What are some of the natural things to do? Well, you know, I really prefer, to work with a natural lifestyle, diet, supplements, and we could go into them. I mean, we'd have to know a little bit what's going on with this person to see why they're experiencing these changes.
Yeah.
And if the changes are, you know, more than merely cosmetic.
Mm-hmm. And that would require a consult.
Yeah, right. A bit of a workup.
Yeah.
And sounds self-serving, but I think, you know, to suggest some panacea-like supplement.
Yeah.
Yes, hyaluronic acid, beneficial effects on, collagen, reducing wrinkles potentially, and, antioxidants and omega-3 fatty acids and on and on,
Yeah. It would have to be something tailored.
Yeah.
More to her.
So sorry if that's a little dodgy, but that's the truth.
Thank you, Peggy.
And we're committed to the truth here on Intelligent Medicine. So that concludes this week's edition of Q&A with Layla. Thanks for listening. And please submit your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We're delighted to receive them, and we'll tackle them in a future edition of Q&A with Layla. Thanks, Layla.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.